Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, chaps. I'm Ray Wilkins, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
That is enough. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. I'm Marcus and it's beautiful to have you here. The three chaps are here too. Jim.
Hello.
Pete.
Flavour.
And Luke.
All right.
Now then, of course, for the month of October, we have teamed up with PES 2012, haven't we, Pete?
We have indeed. During the month of October, as you've already said, we are sponsored by PES 2012, the footballers' football game, which is out Friday the 14th. Only a couple of days to wait if you're listening to this on the day the podcast comes out. It's coming out on the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360 because class is permanent,
isn't it,
Marcus? It is.
Oh, absolutely.
Football's permanent.
Mm. Right then, let's start. We've just had the international matches, of course. I'd like to ask you guys, obviously we're eligible to play for England, probably not going to happen, but if you were eligible...
You should have gone on Friday.
That's true. Bring back the libero.
Yeah.
If you were eligible to play for another country, and let's just say you could play for them, who would you like to be eligible for, Jim?
I would...
You've got to say why as well.
I've got to say why.
Yeah,
well, I was going to.
It's
the crucial.
Do you remember his answer?
Just
crucial part of the answer, isn't it?
All right.
I would go for the Galapagos Islands.
Right? It's not a country.
For the purposes of this, it'll do.
It's
Ecuador.
Well, Ecuador then.
All right.
But I'll move out there. And I'll move out there and I'll play for a club on the Galapagos Islands. Because it'd be fun, wouldn't it? Get all these weird animals.
There's no clubs on there.
You been there?
Yeah, I have.
They've got a whole...
Did you see all of it? Did you see all of it?
You didn't think I'd say yes to that, did you? I didn't, at all, no.
Did you scout every part of it? There might be a club there. There are clubs in all kinds of weird places.
I'll start a club.
Let him have it.
You started something, I'll tell you that.
This isn't about club football anyway. So up yours, Marcus Speller.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is about Humboldt Penguins and the Galapagos Islands. So
exactly.
You're out.
A lot of volleyball goes on there.
I don't care about volleyball, Marcus, as you well know.
All the points, by the sounds of it.
I would go to Ecuador, I would move to the Galapagos Island, I'd make a little team of me and like weird monkeys that you don't get anywhere else, and I'd be happy.
I don't think there's monkeys on there.
Darwin's Finch.
One of them.
Yeah.
There'll be monkeys on the Galapagos.
Turtles.
Poodles. Okay.
It's a suicidal answer. If I'm honest.
Arguing with the boss.
Before this, I was worried about my answer.
Oh, well then, Pete. Could this be the week you get the point?
It's India, Marcus.
Okay.
Animals not as good straight away.
Like tigers.
Tigers, mate.
Yeah, but you can get them in other places. There's loads of stuff you can only get on the Galapagos.
All right then.
That's a very small part of Ecuador, surely.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm localising.
You're losing.
In fact, I'm going to start a revolution there.
Visualising.
You've had your bit.
Well, it's India, Marcus. It's
right,
India.
Right, okay,
because
interesting.
Because there's a huge disconnect between the size of the country and how many players actually have achieved stuff for that country. Also because Michael Chopra is a bit rubbish and he disappointed me. I thought he was going to be the great white hope for Asian Britons, but he turned out not to be.
You've written off a whole country because of Michael Chopra.
Pretty much, yes, exactly. Yeah.
See what you've done, Michael?
Your fault.
You thought you were just a failure on the football
pitch. Playing up front for India. It's just a glorious,
brilliant,
glorious thing to think about.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Luke?
I'd probably have to go for Sweden. I've been there. It's a great country. I'd fit in with my Swedish look.
Sort of Nordic man.
And I'd be up front with Zlatan. What's not to like? What is not to like?
That's true.
A big man combo.
Would you get Sven in charge? Would you root for Sven?
It's not any opportunity in there to bring
God. Later will be greater.
You're going to have a bit of Sven later on, are we? Is that what you're saying?
No, not necessarily. Don't get
Sweden.
I think you look good chewing tobacco. Oh, there's little packets that the Swedish like.
Chewing up.
They're little tea bags, but they've got tobacco in them.
I'm not sure. They put them in between the gum and the tooth.
Well, that's specifically a Swedish phenomenon, is it?
I think so, yeah.
Like packing in America.
Say again?
Packing, you know, the pack to tobacco. No, it's fine. I said packing in America. Tobacco, like baseball players. Is it like
that? Oh, right, yeah, definitely. Okay, yeah. Right. So it's like chewing tobacco, isn't it?
Yeah, okay. Oh, I didn't know. I'm going to go for Ghana.
I thought you would. I was thinking about
Ghana. I'm practically Ghana, as it is. And there is an argument to be had there. African Cup of Nations, you get involved, they're on the way up. Beautiful.
Bit of dancing.
Beautiful country, beautiful
Pop
people,
man.
Wonderful. Pop man cheering me on.
Oh, yeah, good.
That would be good. You could be his mate.
I am easily.
If you play for them, he'd love to be your mate.
Yeah, totally. Pete's got the points this week.
Oh, my God. I think by default.
The other two were rubbish.
Never mind.
So you got it. Right, well, now.
Look, I'm telling you, I'm going to move to the Galapagos Islands, stage a coup, make it its own country, and I'm going to prove all of you wrong.
A lot of animals that say the word coo when they talk. On there.
It's all very strange, isn't it?
If you'd like to have a crack at that, listeners.
Yeah, of course, that is the competition, isn't it? Get your answers in to show@thefootballramble.com for a chance to win PES 2012. Please specify in the subject title, it's obviously PES 2012, and state in the email which console you would prefer, Xbox or
PS3.
PS3.
Simple as end.
So last week's question we had, how would you punish Carlos Tevez? Jimbo.
I'm going to read out the answer for the Xbox winner, who is Simon. And he says, Ramblers, as a punishment for Carlito's latest act of petulance, I would allow him to move to Argentina for free and provide a company jet. Mm. When he is on the jet, a mysterious Middle Eastern doctor, I'm sure the owners know one, will spike his drink and perform plastic surgery on his face. When he wakes, a mirror will be handed to him and the bandages removed to reveal that the surgery has made him look exactly like Roberto Mancini.
Good.
He will be met at the airport by his much-mentioned family, who will not recognise him as Carlos Tevez, and then just leave. He will be left alone with no club, no family, and the face of Roberto Mancini, a face he will see in the mirror every day
as
he prepares
for
another appearance as a Roberto Mancini lookalike opening a supermarket in Bury. Cheers, Simon. Simon, the Xbox game is going to make its way over to you.
He'd still be good at footballer, wouldn't he? And he'd look like Roberto Mancini. So if anything, yeah, that would make Roberto Mancini seem better than he is.
But the way he wrote the email was like, well, he wouldn't have any family or a football club, but he would look like Roberto Mancini.
Yeah.
So it's not all bad.
No.
Yeah, but if you were annoyed by Roberto Mancini, you wouldn't want his face.
That's true. That's the standard you've got to aspire to, distance, if you want to win a game. And the second winner is Ben, who says, I would super glue him to one of those car seats that they use for the bench these days. Don't want to come off the bench? Well, now you can't. Also, force him to learn English, then only speak to him in French. Wow. Cheers, Ben.
Right, and there's the two winners this week. If you want to have a chance to win PES 2012, get your answers in to this week's opening question, which is, of course, if you could be eligible for a second national team, who would it be and why? show@thefootballramble.com is the email address.
And make sure you put PES 2012 in the subject line to separate the wheat from the chaff.
That's right. Now then, let's move on to the European Championship qualifiers. Montenegro 2, England 2. England gloriously through to the European Championships next summer. Do we agree, Jimbo?
It has been overshadowed, hasn't it, the fact that we actually qualified. There's not really been anything mentioned about it.
No.
It's just like all about, oh, Rooney's lost his head again, blah 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 blah.
It is a long way away.
No, it's a long way away, but it's positive that we got there.
Is it enough time for preparation? A rehaul?
I think it is important to say that we qualified, because otherwise we'd be in danger of just completely ignoring that fact and going talk about all the negatives, which I'm sure we're about to do. I thought that Montenegro gave England far too much respect, and certainly the first sort of 20 minutes.
Very much so, yeah.
If they backed themselves, they could have beat us.
I'll tell you what, it's funny, isn't it? Typical, I was watching the game at Socrates, the bloggers meet, and so many people there were thinking, oh, isn't it nice Montenegro scored? That's the second one. Oh, it's good to see them all celebrate. It's like such English football fans.
Yeah.
I like the way, like, the striker after the second one climbed over.
He
was nearly slipping over the
they
top of that.
They couldn't believe their luck. They were loving it.
Yeah,
that's great to see, isn't it?
Absolutely marvellous to see, yeah.
It's a very, very small nation, isn't it? It's impressive that they're such a good side.
And the young nation as well.
Excellent in the air. They dominated, absolutely dominated. Mm. But it irks me that we're even having this conversation that we're I'm having to agree with Gary Neville. It doesn't really matter. You know what I mean? Do you think like a Gillingham supporter really has these sort of soul-searching discussions at the start of every season or the end of every season, sort of going, why aren't we winning the Premier League? We're not good enough. We've not been good enough for a very long time. Mm. And it's not... Mm. I don't see it as that big a problem, to be honest. I watch an England match. I enjoy it for what it is. Mm-hmm. We're never going to win the World Cup in recent times, but it's fine. It's absolutely fine.
This is the point I was making the other week, whenever it was, that You know, if we do go away to Holland or some bigger nation and we mug them, in the last minute we get a lucky deflective goal, we've been awful, they've been pounders, and we win, we wouldn't be happy with that. We wouldn't be like, hey, we've mugged them, you know. Mm. We'd be like, well, we still didn't play very well. And as you say, Pete, we've never played well.
It's just, for me,
well,
years.
For years. I would say the last time England were enjoyable at a tournament was Euro 2004. And there was a time, you know, the game against Croatia and England were really good in spells, and there were spells where they were good to watch. And that's the thing with England, it's always spells.
But you get the impression that international football's moved on quite a lot since then.
Yeah. But I just want that back. That's all I want from England. I want them to be good.
But
I just want to enjoy watching them play. I don't care if they don't win things. I want it to enjoy it while they're at the tournament.
I'll take your point, Jim. And Pete, I understand what you're saying, but is the issue not that people do agree with that, I think, to a certain extent, but do people not think they could be good? And that's the point.
Well, it's one of those
We've got a massive population. We've got a massive history of international football. You know, great
resources.
Pedigree, resources. We certainly standardised the game and gave it to the world. We probably didn't invent it. We standardised it and gave it to the world.
But that was the best part of 100 years ago.
Oh, it was, yeah, it was, absolutely.
And one World Cup win does not another World Cup win begat. You know, it just, we've never overachieved because we've never really underachieved for me.
Yeah.
We've always done quite well, you know what I mean?
It's all right, we've always done all right.
Yeah.
We're middling.
Yeah. Especially if you look at the sort of, you know, 82, 86, 90. You know, there was some nice stuff played.
And also, I think the success of the English game sort of flatters us to a certain extent because the English league certainly has had nothing to do, and the success of it has had nothing to do with an English player for such a long time. You know what I mean? And we kind of sort of flatter ourselves a little.
But we've done the soul searching and the introspection that we did after the World Cup. So we've done that already. Everyone worth, you know, their opinion on football knows what England need to do to sort it out. It's just whether it will be done or not. And Gary Neville was absolutely right, and it does actually feed back into your point, Jim, about Euro 2004. And I would actually probably go a bit further back under sort of someone like Hoddle, when we actually played some decent football and we experimented a little bit and played, you know, quite expansive stuff. The game's moved on. The game is all about sort of a bit about pace and about sort of moving things around. I do think Capello takes some of the blame because he's not picking the players that, in my opinion, he should be picking. If you look at what Germany did, some of the players that performed so admirably in the World Cup last summer didn't have masses of caps beforehand, but it was almost seen as a bit of a gamble to put them in.
Müller was the prime example of that.
Yeah, but Capello didn't do that, did he?
No, of course he never.
And for me, I know it's a bit of a sort of, it seems a bit like sort of chucking the baby out of the bathwater to a certain extent, but what is the merit in, I know we've got to ensure we qualify for these tournaments, but what is the merit in playing John Terry? I know he's captain, but I don't agree with that either. Playing John Terry, playing Lampard, you've got to give these players. What I'm trying to say is, you can't sort of simulate a big England game in a friendly. It doesn't work. So if you put young players in a friendly, they always know it's only a friendly. You need to at some point gamble with them and put them in and give them a chance. So
he's done that a little bit.
Yeah, I would argue he's done that more than a kind of most recent England managers. If you look at the players,
I still don't think it's enough, though.
Yeah, but I don't think putting in John Terry is a bad idea, considering Cahill's a bit inexperienced and Phil Jones' experience. You've got to have a little bit of something.
Yeah,
you've
got to have someone in there that knows what they're doing. You've got to get that balance of experience and sort of youth and the new players, right, which is exactly what
that's gone match to match, though, isn't it? Where do we take them in 2 years' time when John Terry's not there anymore? And it's just kind of...
One of those guys will have more experience by then.
But I suppose what I'm saying
at club level, certainly. But, you know, it just doesn't seem...
How does someone like Kyle Walker, then, who's a really highly rated prospect at right back, how does he become a sort of established international footballer? For my money, you don't put Phil Jones at right back against Montenegro because his strongest position is centre back. You put someone like Kyle Walker in and you give him the game and you give him the shirt for six or seven games and you give him a chance to become an international footballer.
Jones himself is not an established sort of international, though, is he? And he's been playing very well for Man United at right back, so it could be that Capello's got his eye on putting him there, or just the fact he's on the pitch at all, you know, is positive.
Yeah.
You know, if he's got his eye on using him for the future.
I just think players like Barry, like, what's the point? What's the point?
Well, look at the way he dealt with a big tournament, so to speak. You know what I mean? He was exactly the same, and he's a man who's advanced in years.
We were pinning
you know?
Our hopes on Barry when he was in Japan.
It was weird, wasn't it?
So Kieran Dyer in the 2002 World Cup.
We're always
like, as long as he's fit, we'll have someone on the left.
I've got nothing against Gareth Barry. I think he's an alright player and he fits into that Man City team okay, and he does a job. He's far too slow.
No, of course. Yes,
and he shouldn't be in the team because he's not a long term prospect. I know Cleverley's injured and Cleverley should be given the shirt and the experience.
I'm just more fatigued by the fact that we're talking about Wayne fucking Rooney. Yeah. And it's just kind of like, you know what? He hasn't been in form for England for quite a while. There's been the odd match here and there. Is there even an argument that if he can't hack it at international level, and he hasn't for quite a while?
I don't know. He was involved in the goals, wasn't he? And he's not been scoring so much, but he has been creating.
Yeah, but
I don't think Rooney's been as bad as people are making out.
Rooney's clearly England's best player, but the fact is that England weren't playing that well before he got sent off anyway. They were playing quite poorly before he got the red card. But England need to learn how to play without him anyway. You can't always look to him. The reason it's annoying that he got sent off is because it's just another thing to pin your excuses on, to pin your reason for what is essentially a game that should have been won. To pin your excuses on it. In Montenegro are a good team. They're a good team at home. We qualified. It's not the end of the world, is it?
I'm tired of these talismans that we just sort of hold up to these ridiculously high expectations. And they're always going to fail because we're not that good a team and we don't have that strong set of individuals. It's just one of those things. Deal with it.
I do think we've got a sort of exciting group of players coming through, though. If you look at the likes of sort of Jack Wilshere, Danny Welbeck, Danny Sturridge, Tom Cleverley.
You know what I mean?
I know. We have just called him Tom Cleverley there. We have, but of course, you know, we've had them before. We'll have them again. It's just how it works. I just think it's positive that England's going to be different. It's like we were saying a couple of weeks ago. It's nice to finally be having a conversation where we're not talking about the fact it's going to be Lampard and Gerrard in the middle together. Mm. It's the next generation on from that, and there's a bit of mystery to it because we don't quite know how it's going to go. And I, for one, I'm enjoying that. You know, and it's just because you get so fatigued by England being the same over and over again. And I know certain things are still there, certain problems are still there, but it is changing. And
it'll take some time for.
I think a midfield with Scott Parker and Jack Wilshere in the middle. I think that's
all
right.
Cleverly as well.
You know, you've got Cleverly. I think you've got a few options there. I understand the points, but Capello, you've got to qualify. If he does not qualify, that is catastrophic for English football.
So, and England don't always qualify for things. It's fairly regular that we don't. We need to remember this.
I think his intention is you qualify, you've got a few friendlies against some real big teams. He said he's going to try a lot of young players. You know, Rooney, apparently he's not going to start any of these subsequent friendlies. Mm. He's not got a lot of time to try a few different bits and pieces. He's seen a lot of players. I think he's got an idea of who he wants.
At international level, though, if you're going to win a tournament, you've got to use your squad very wisely.
Yep.
You know, if you look at the Spain team that won the World Cup and the Euros as well, they had regular players coming off the bench that came off the bench in pretty much every game to freshen it up, and they had ideas. You need to have those different options. You can't just have your strongest 11 and then see what happens. You've got to have that real squad mentality, and it gives Capello a good opportunity to do that, I think.
Well, we'll see next summer, won't we?
Yeah.
But certainly the next few friendlies are actually important. These aren't going to be, you know, 9 changes at half time or whatever.
I'm having a tenner on us to win it.
Yep.
Yeah. I can't see anyone that can trouble us, really.
Well, we invented the game.
Exactly. It's about time these other countries show us a bit of respect for that.
Another good win for Wales, 2-0 at home against Switzerland.
It was nice. The Welsh.
It was, that's a really encouraging sign for them, because although they obviously can't qualify, we said a week or two ago that it's important for them to get some sort of stability, for Gary Speed to grow as a coach with them.
Yep.
They got some good young players coming through. That boy from Crystal Palace, John Williams, Ramsey, they got Bale. Ramsey and Bale both scored, didn't they?
And that's encouraging as well, because their big name players need to do it for them on international level, and Ramsey and Bale have both delivered there.
Switzerland aren't bad.
No, they're a good side.
Well, the last two matches were top 20 opposition FIFA rankings wise, so it's pretty good. And he's going to be taking them out to Costa Rica next month when they haven't got they've got a spare week where it's international like playoff spaces and stuff the Premier League takes a bit of a break, so that's great. And it'd be great to just have them away all together in a completely different continent.
Don't fantastic. Forget they would have got signed out of the game at Wembley if Earnshaw didn't have that horrific miss.
That's it. I think the World Cup qualification for 2040 can't come quick enough for them.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Now then, Romania 2, Belarus 2. Adrian Mutu with a double.
Adrian Mutu?
Indeed,
playing
James.
For Romania, you say? But what about his lifetime ban, Marcus?
Oh, he got declared officially dead by a doctor, but then someone CPR'd him back to life. So he's got out of it.
Oh, you are right. We spoke about this recently, that Adrian Mutu got a lifetime ban from the Romanian national team only a couple of months ago, but he managed to score twice. How did he do this? Well, apparently he had a phone conversation with the manager and apologised, so all was okay.
Wow.
They got no hope of qualifying.
That's how you do it, kids. No, they're out.
That probably means I can get back into Central Europe.
I like how the coach, Peturka, he said the two players had been expelled for life from the national team. It's a pity, but rules are strict and they should have known it. That's what he said at the time. But he's reversed that decision.
Then he's
course.
Gone, actually, but he is actually really good, isn't he?
Yeah, he's
sort of my best player.
Also, West Brom defender Tamás again falls into that category. Apparently his apology was sufficient to reverse the lifetime ban. Mutu's on 34 goals for Romania, which is one behind Hadji's 35.
With a better ratio as well, 71 matches. He's,
And they're in the same group as France and Bosnia, are they?
I believe so.
Yeah. It's a shootout. Basically, they play each other, don't they? And the winner goes
at time of recording, we don't know who's reaching the playoffs, who's even finished in first place in some of the
Bosnia
groups.
Basically got through by just smashing Luxembourg more than everybody else. That, that seemed to be the thing with that. With
I
that
hope
group.
That was always the plan.
Now, at time of recording, of course, Europe has a lot of loose ends to tie up with their qualification campaigns, but the African Cup of Nations qualifying is finished. And Niger have qualified for the first time for the African Cup of Nations.
It's the first time they've ever qualified for a major tournament, I think.
I think so, yeah. It's an incredible achievement because they're in the same group as South Africa, Sierra Leone and Egypt.
Yeah, they had a bit of a helping hand though, didn't they?
They did have a... Well...
By the most confusing set of rules.
Well, no,
Stephen Pienaar certainly found them confusing.
South Africa, of course, thought they'd qualified because they thought it was goal difference, which is fair enough. But you've got to check the rules. Stephen. Always read rule 14.1 if you remember anything from this podcast. Yeah.
I mean, all of the rules.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So what happened was they went into the last game. Niger lost 3-0 against Egypt. They finished on 9 points. South Africa drew with Sierra Leone, who both then finished on 9 points. South Africa just thought they needed a draw because of this. They played for a draw.
It's like Man City that time when they thought they were going to stay up.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. But you're at home against Sierra Leone.
Go for it. Go for the jugular.
Go for it. Why not? Make sure.
These people have paid to see you. Yeah. Bafana, Bafana.
they did a lap of honour.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Patsy was involved.
Niger are 93rd in the FIFA rankings. Yeah. I've been reading my FIFA rankings this week.
Yeah. Well, what happened was, so you've got the three teams finished top on 9 points, but it was the greater number of points obtained in the match between these three teams. It wasn't going
head-to-head record.
Well, it wasn't even a head-to-head between Niger and South Africa because South Africa still had a better one. But because Sierra Leone came in, because they finished on the same points, it's the games against both teams. And Niger came top with 6 and South Africa was second with 5.
I love this.
Such a baffling set of rules.
The South African manager basically admitted he didn't know. which is a foolish move. He should have just gone, no, I obviously knew that. I just, cut up.
Yeah. Well, South Africa apparently thinking about appealing and protesting they say goal difference is a fair way of doing things, but they should have protested before the qualifying matches if you're that strongly about it.
Yeah, they're never getting that. If they do get through, that would be an absolute disgrace.
I will.
Can you imagine that?
It's great for that fellow who plays for Niger. He scored a few goals from Doudou Kamalou. Mm. He plays his football in Tripoli. Now, he is going to want a bit of a holiday for him.
Oh, dear.
He'll have had a hell of a few weeks.
Qualified as well, didn't they?
Libya qualified as well as one of the best runners-up after drawing away with Zambia. Apparently, it was real heroics from the Libyan national team.
40-year-old goalkeeper they've got. And he was pulling off saves like nobody's business. I'll stick a video on Ramble too. It was beautiful.
Lovely stuff. Managed to get the crucial point there. But, Libya and Niger, surely the story of qualifying is aimed at them.
Egypt had an absolute stinker, but obviously there's mitigating circumstances.
Sure.
Even
Libya.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, a lot of the teams in that continent.
We are self-hating England fans, aren't we?
Yeah.
We get so excited about Libya.
Yeah. They got a draw, they never Niger, unbelievable achievement. So the teams that have gone through include, obviously, Ivory Coast, Ghana, Angola, Senegal, Mali. Teams that haven't qualified, Egypt, South Africa, Cameroon and Nigeria.
Wow.
Algeria.
Yeah,
they were out as well. Nigeria lost out. They drew at home with Guinea. Guinea go through instead of them. It was a last minute equaliser in Abuja, the capital of Nigeria. What a sickness.
Dramatic.
What a sickness for the Nigerians.
It's always a really good tournament. I always really enjoy watching it.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's going to be an interesting one as well without so many of the big guns in there. Mm. I mean, Ghana and Ivory Coast have got to be thinking, yeah, we can have this.
Well, Adel Tarat's Morocco through. They've qualified. He's got a great free kick.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Of course, Morocco. Then.
For Ivory Coast, nice to see the two Tories scoring on the Scottish. I love that. I love it.
Yeah. Marvellous, righto. Now, let's go to South America. In Brazil, the government have recently said that they were going to offer half-price tickets to pensioners at the 2014 World Cup. A worthy thing to do, I think.
Nice touch, yeah.
Lovely.
There's an organisation who have put a stop to it. Go by the name of FIFA. They stopped this because I suppose they can. A number of politicians have criticised the Brazilian government for signing away far too much control to FIFA.
But you don't get the choice though, do you? If you don't do that, you don't have the World Cup.
They actually had FIFA over a barrel on this because it was given to South America, that tournament. Only Brazil and who was the other one? Brazil and another nation.
Was it the Galapagos Islands?
It was the Galapagos Islands.
The new nation.
They put bids in to host the tournament, and the other country withdrew their bid, sorry. Mm. So it was only Brazil. So they had to give it to them. So Brazil could have really bartered them.
Yeah. Well, and Ricardo Teixeira didn't take the opportunity. What an amazing
Yeah. But yeah, so apparently FIFA will be exempt from all taxes whilst in Brazil and create, as we saw in South Africa, a state within a state.
You think FIFA would be happy with the pensioners half price, given they are all pensioners?
They'll be selling them. They're tickets.
Not a bazaar. This is FIFA for fella. Yeah.
Yeah. That's disgusting.
A spokesman for FIFA said, we do respect Brazil's national laws and regulations.
Just not at all.
But we've just changed them.
Yeah. But the World Cup is a unique event.
Yeah.
What else do they organise?
That's your fault.
No, it is. We do respect Brazil's laws and institutions and whatnot, but what are you going to do if you change it?
It's horrible.
We do respect Brazil's whatever it is you've got there. But we're here now. Forget about all that.
FIFA Carnival.
Yeah.
There has been some good stuff coming out of Brazil recently, though. Don't you worry about that. The president of... Well, is this good? Is it... Well, we'll see. The president of Brazilian club Santos could be planning to register a 71-year-old man to play in the 2011 World Club Cup. Now, the man in question goes by the name of Pelé. Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen. He wants to give Pelé the chance to complete a hat-trick of World Club trophies. And why wouldn't you?
He's 71.
Yeah. And it's just utterly, utterly cursory.
It seems like an obvious argument. Santos president Luis Oliveira Ribeiro said that it struck me that Pelé was a three-time world champion, 58, 62, and 70, with the national team, but only twice with Santos, 62, 63. He did say Pelé was positive and promised to get fit and participate for a few minutes.
That was 48 years ago.
Someone's had a liquid lunch, haven't they?
Yeah.
And they've told the secretary to take something up for them.
Pete, I don't even think it is that. That's the problem. I don't think they are drunk.
You're despairing.
I think that's actually what they think.
Yeah.
It's nothing. If it was in England, you'd think, yeah, probably drunk. Yeah. You'd probably think he's old school. Yeah. Alan Partridge would say, a byword for an alcoholic. But in Brazil, they actually do think like that, don't they?
Yeah.
Are you telling me, love got your name there for a second. Are you telling me, Luke, that we're not going to see the exact same situation? England, however many caps David Beckham's got, when he's 70, he'll turn up on the pitch at some point.
We're
just as stupid.
If he promised to train and get fit,
you'd have him in, wouldn't you?
Yeah. His fame was a man.
What is all this nonsense?
I think you see yourself as like this holy triumvirate of you, of Beckham, Sven, and you, but Beckham and Sven don't really know about it.
Yeah.
Don't they?
Emphatically no.
Now, do you remember the 1994 World Cup, Jimbo?
Mm.
Thought you would. Now, do you also remember more specifically when Bebeto scored Brazil's second goal against Holland when he celebrated doing the now famous cradle-rocking celebration with Romário and Mazinho?
Scored against Ed De Hooy, went round him.
Yeah.
Don't see that enough, do you?
You don't see that. What an
iconic... But that's what makes it special.
Yeah.
What an iconic celebration it was. Yeah. Well... The baby that he was giving that celebration to, aiming it at, I suppose, he's grown up. And he's now training with Flamengo.
I think he signed for them, hasn't he?
Yeah, he signed for the youth setup.
The world's first invisible footballer. Magical.
Ghosting through defences. it's incredible, isn't it?
It makes you feel old. Time flies.
Well, obviously it makes sense through the passage of time, but it's just funny to think that...
Their baby from Nevermind's in like his 20s now.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah.
Depressing, isn't it? He's an artist. Yeah.
Macaulay Culkin's 18. Right, in Peru...
Was he signed for Flamengo as well?
He signed for the Galapagos Islands. Now, in Peru... goalkeeper Victor Ulloa of the team Carlos Minucci recently came out. This is in the
Isn't
Peruvian.
Isn't the bassist from the Killers?
Yeah,
he left.
He also plays in the Peruvian third division.
Okay, right.
Which is a
is that why he left?
Yeah, he was a killer.
Very good. Yeah. You can't do both. You can't do both. Now, he recently came out and said this against a female referee officiating in the Peruvian third division: "The woman should be cooking. Get out of football. Women are for serving men." He has apologised, saying, "No excuses, I'm sorry. I was just blinded by rage." Mm.
You can't be blinded by sex.
Now,
can you?
If you think that some Premier League managers insult referees...
Oh, do they do?
Yeah. Well, it's nothing
to They really do.
Anyway, talking of referees getting abused, let's quickly pop back to Europe, if we may.
We're all over the place today.
To Italy.
Yep.
There's a referee in Serie A from Florence called Gianluca Rocchi, and recently he officiated the Inter-Napoli match, made a number of bad decisions.
And Ranieri went mental, didn't he?
Ranieri went mental. Yeah. That's how bad it was. Mm. There's another man with the same name who also lives in Florence, and he's been receiving threatening phone calls due to mistaken identity. He said, it's not the first time it's happened, and that's why I follow this referee's performances, to see if I need to expect some telephone threats.
Just go ex-directory.
Yeah. Tell someone.
Yeah, it's one phone call.
He has to monitor the mascot. Oh, shit. Oh,
do you think he can...
It was onside.
Hang on, so if they have good performances, does he get people ringing him up going, no, well done? Maybe that's it, he likes the attention.
You know as well as I do, that doesn't happen.
No. Yeah, one team is going to be upset with him. Yeah. Each match, surely.
Especially in Italy. Oh, dear. He says, I always hope the referee officiates well, but in any case, it's never nice to hear someone tell you on the phone they're going to kill you. It's not funny.
Do you remember when Urs Meyer had that poor, well, what was perceived to be a poor decision for in an England game, and printed his telephone number?
Classy. To be fair, you know, to Meyer, all Wayne Rooney did was stamp on Ricardo Carvalho's balls.
Yeah. No, Ronaldo Condus. Nah. He Condus. He conned the referee by winking in that.
Yeah. Always. I love this article, how it states that he's an unemployed man from Florence.
He can't leave the house. He's terrified.
Just wants the attention.
Yeah. Do you reckon that's those people about that job offer?
No, people trying to kill me again. Unless the interview went that badly, it's not that.
I'm going to kill you with an awesome job? No.
Oh dear. Now then, we're off to Germany now. This was a story from.
Look at you. Wow.
This is a story from last week, Jim Buddy.
It's almost like there's no football would happen.
Luke, you're going to love.
Why is nobody talking about the Newcastle Falcons, Newcastle United Classic 11 against the Liverpool Classic 11?
I knew he'd get it in there. I left it out of the running order.
They lost 4-1. Alan Shearer, Mr. Pentley, Steve Watson, Scott. Thank you very much.
You should have taken. I bloody love Steve Watson. You'll at least be happy about that.
Yeah. You should have stuck with the 4-3.
Yeah, on aggregate, it's massive now.
Yeah, what can we do to possibly make this game better? Redo it and make it worse? Yeah. No, not that. Anything but that.
Just redo it when everyone's fat and bored.
Yeah. We just nice to see Paul Bracewell.
It always is.
Get to Germany, Marcus.
Germany, you're going to love.
Did that Italian referee ref it? Doing exhibition matches now? That's never a penalty. Again?
Luke, you're going to love this one. Bayern Munich fans caught shagging in the stands during a match against Hoffenheim.
Why am I specifically going to love that one?
Because you love shagging, banter, men, top gear.
You like Bayern Munich fans?
I've never even been to Munich.
Sausage train.
Wee. Pathetic.
Two fans were ejected from the stadium. This happened within 16 minutes of the kickoff.
They were making new fans.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it should be.
Yeah, it's a drive. It's like that video that.
Was it
Spain?
What's that?
It was Getafe, wasn't it?
What was that one?
They did a video encouraging fans to have kids.
Yeah,
blimey. The eyewitness quote is just stunning from this. it says, "I thought it did not look right. They had absolutely no inhibitions. Both pulled the pants down and just went at it."
That is generally how it works.
Was it two boys two boys or a boy or a girl?
I think it was a lad and a lass.
A
stewards told them to stop, which they did. But during half time, they had another go and were chucked out.
Putting the luck.
Do you think it's maybe they're a new couple? He's dragged her along to the football, see if she likes it. She doesn't really, so she's been really clever about.
Is it like this every week?
Getting away to go.
Apparently, the match ended 0-0. But at least somebody scored.
I was hoping it'd be like 2-1, and I was going to say, they come from behind.
Oh dear. You got anything, Pete?
Jism. Is that alright? Is that the level we're talking here?
That was better than you normally do.
Speaking of which, Sven Goran Eriksson has offered David Beckham a chance to join Leicester City in a player coach role.
Fuck off, Marcus.
And now it's time for going for gloves.
No, Eriksson actually said, Beckham, he will never say no to me. He says, Sven, we'll see.
Stop it.
That's him saying
Shut
no.
Up.
He's just being very polite about it.
So. If you keep talking about it, he'll keep putting it in. So
that's true, actually, yeah.
Let's go for gold.
Let's.
Going for gold. Gold. Right.
I need to step up here because I'm getting left behind.
Yeah, you are.
3-3-1-1.
Well, I know for a fact, Luke, this is a player that you are familiar with.
Pete's got the same foot as me, and he's even in it. That's how bad I'm doing.
And you can't hear in one of your ears as well this week. It's very troubling.
Yeah, you're injured.
Right, come on.
Yeah, you got an ear injury. Right, okay, basically going for gold. If you're not familiar, everyone, I chuck a load of clues to a mystery footballer, and these guys jump in when they think they've got it and speculate as to who it might be. And Luke is... He's languishing at the bottom of the list.
I am deaf in my right ear tonight, though. So,
all right, well, I'll shout
it. Even if you win it, Marcus and I are still ahead.
Yeah. So,
just, right. Your first clue.
Pressure.
Your first clue is: I refused my final two pay packets, instead opting to sponsor two youth team players.
Oh, that's interesting. That
it's a nice little, a nice thing to
like
do.
That. It's a good start.
Scored my first international goal against Germany in Bremen. I had 5 years in the wilderness internationally after playing a B international in Wrexham.
Stop. Oh, is it
Chris? It's not Chris Sutton.
It's not Chris Sutton.
You're just thinking, who's the B international?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I played under manager Craig Brown.
Ooh.
I was the last Englishman to score at Old Wembley, though the internet is a twat when it comes to providing confirmation.
Stop.
On shit like this.
Come on, Luke.
Tony Adams.
No.
Stop. Robbie Fowler.
No.
Tony Adams was the last Englishman to score at Wembley, wasn't he? The old Wembley?
I don't believe he was.
All right.
I was at that. Oh, no, it must have been a different game.
I now work for Al Jazeera. And TalkSport. I was born in Gateshead.
Stop. No, I'm sorry, sorry.
Stop. Chris Waddle?
No.
No, he was never the last person to score at Wembley.
This game does weird things to you.
That's like Alhaj Albert Diouf.
Well, I've only got one. I can probably make up a couple of clues
Stop.
After this.
Stop.
Alan Shearer?
No.
Stop.
Peter Beardsley?
No.
Peter Beardsley.
Drugs.
Stop.
Deck.
One of the shitty sports games. He basically said at one point, I still text Ali McCoist saying, come on, if David Weir is getting a game at 39, there is hope for me yet.
Hang on.
Come on, Mark.
Don Hutchinson.
Don Hutchinson, Mark.
Get in there!
How'd you work that out?
Well, the clues coming together.
I tricked you.
The playoff. The playoff.
Oh, so he's English.
I remember him scoring against Germany.
Exactly.
Side foot, edge of the box, bottom corner, and because Scotland beat Germany in Germany.
Yeah. So
and England hadn't done it for ages, obviously 5-1 and all that crap.
He was born in Gateshead, but his dad was a Scottish miner, and he was really
very
really
good. I've still got one point. Yeah.
It certainly wasn't Matt Elliott.
It's only on Chris Sutton.
If he's got his knob out again, that's out of order.
Didn't say that should have been a clue.
It's a direct quote.
No, but you can't have that. We'll get it. Anything Wang related, we'll get it.
That's where I'm going wrong.
Right, time for emails.
Thank you for your
email,
lady.
Jimbo, you got an email?
I do have an email. Would you like to hear it?
Oh, I wouldn't mind.
Right, is how this works, isn't it? Ramblers. Hello. I thought I'd send a line about my football team here in Stockholm, Longholmen. We recently reached the final of the Stockholm Cup and faced a Division 2 side by the name of Sollentuna United, who are coached by none other than former Arsenal and Everton midfielder Anders Limpar.
Oh, lovely.
Beautiful. Mm.
The funny thing about Limpar is that he is famous in Sweden, not just for football, but for a legendary episode of Blasningen, I think that's pronounced, which is a bit like sort of when Noel Edmonds had his gotchas on whatever show that was. And in it, Limpar was convinced during a flight between Gothenburg and Stockholm that a fellow passenger was a scientist who had a time machine with him, and that when they landed, they were 1 year in the future.
When they landed?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't believe it.
They were then met by the military and TV crews. He fell for it completely. It's a bit of a sore point for him. From Joe Murphy.
That is
brilliant.
Amazing.
I couldn't believe I'd never heard that before.
No, that
when
is
I read
amazing.
That email.
That is a rubbish time machine.
Yeah. Just wondering, you'd want to go back.
Yeah. What? Can I choose? But
No.
It has to be 1 year.
Hard boarded in.
Surely, yeah, you've got to go to the same place you're going. That's not how a time machine works, is it? You can't just go all over the shop. Oh, Anders.
Oh, Pete, what have you got for us?
I've got one from Rob Partridge.
Hello.
Hi, Marcus and the gang. I'm not
Smelly
having this.
Rob no. Partridge.
Stop it.
Stop nicking things from Alan Partridge.
Hi, Marcus and the gang. I'm not having this. This isn't fair. No.
Marcus and the gang.
I don't know how that is.
Like a really, really
cool and the gang.
Yeah, like a Surrey-based version of cool and the gang.
He's a good man, old Rob. I don't know him. But I feel like I do.
Right, long-time listener, first-time emailer. Why have I never emailed before? Simply because I always felt I'd save it for something special. He's apparently saying that this is something special.
Get on with it, Rob.
He's
His name's Pete.
So here it is, a heartwarming tale of bridges being built across the Atlantic. The story I want to tell you doesn't even involve me. It concerns a good friend of mine, Henry May. Back in 2008...
Yeah, all right, Rob.
It's like
Come
Narnia.
On. Yeah.
Back this is in a problem with your private part.
Back in 2008... If he's got his Henry May out, that's out of order. Back in 2008, Henry went travelling around South America and fell in love with Buenos Aires. Being a die-hard Fulham fan like myself, he wanted to adopt a local team that reflected the ethos of our beloved West London club. Boca, too touristy. River, too much expectation. Vélez Sarsfield, San Lorenzo, Independiente. Well, they just don't have the charm, do they, he says. Henry'd heard of a plucky team, often overshadowed by the bright lights of their bigger neighbours, called Huracán. What they lacked in international recognition, they made up for in passion and pride. Perfect, he says. Henry attended his first Hurricane game at a local derby against bitter rival San Lorenzo. The game was called off after 15 minutes, but undeterred,
standard in
he caught the Huracán bug, which sounds awful. Returning to Blighty a few months later, Henry set up his own Sunday League team. There was never any doubt what he was going to call them. Huracán FC. Yeah. They play in a replica Huracán kit, complete with the iconic red and white hot air balloon as their crest.
Lovely.
To say things have snowballed from here would be a bit of an understatement. They've turned into a Facebook sensation in Argentina, recruiting hundreds of Argentinian followers a week. And the latest instalment of this tale has seen the club contacting Henry again and inviting the whole of his Sunday League team out to Argentina in the summer for a pre-season training session with their first team squad and an on-pitch unveiling in front of thousands of Huracán fans.
Amazing.
How good is
they
that?
Didn't the BBC pick up on this?
Yeah. They were out on the pitch. I think they've got about 5,000 or 6,000 loyal fans in Argentina now, and they were paraded on the pitch in front of in this great big stadium in Argentina.
And it's just a Sunday League team that haven't been going for that long. It's not an established
superb
team.
I think they play in South London in Clapham.
Yeah, should we change our team's name to FC Barcelona?
Yeah. He says, "We should try and get a game against them. That'd be amazing."
What a trick! Yeah. Henry May.
He says, "I'm not writing a boast or brag about Henry's achievement. Just that you can get a warm glow from the thought of thousands of Argentinians logging onto Facebook every Sunday evening to track the fortunes of this plucky bunch of misfits." He does end the email by saying, "Thanks for your time, Marcus, and keep up the brilliant work on the blog." You didn't even write a blog, Marcus.
Yeah,
don't I?
Was this you?
No. I'll not have this, Marcus.
I want to play against them. Let's set up a ramble game against them.
They've been training in Argentina.
They'll be jet lagged, Marcus. Yeah.
Can we play them in Huracán Stadium? Yeah. That's what I want to know.
Yeah, that's our first demand.
I want to see them play the Hurricanes off the telly, the cartoon. Remember them? Yeah. Champion spirit is here to stay, apparently.
Lords, ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time. Now, this week, there is a birthday. It's a 74th birthday for one of the legends, the true greats of the English game, and a knight of the realm. It's Sir Bobby Charlton.
I thought you were going to go for Don Hutchinson.
That's not good enough for a knight of the realm. an old-fashioned sporting hero, I think we can all agree. He was born on the 11th of October, 1937.
30 years before the Summer of Love.
There you go. Yeah, easy one.
Yeah.
Even his peak during the Summer of Love.
Yeah, he would have been, yeah.
Saying,
world champion in the Summer of Love, yeah.
No, the Scots were the world champions in 1960.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
A real gentleman, true gent, a fantastic player, and just went about his profession with modesty and much aplomb, I think we can agree.
He almost feels like football's granddad now, doesn't he?
Mr. Football.
Because there's no more Sir Bobby, that's why Sir Bobby Robson. So now he's the one who stepped into his shoes, I think.
Yeah. Another Sir Bobby.
Yeah.
Sir Bobby Shoes.
Charlton was born into a footballing family with a number of his relatives being professional footballers, including a certain Jackie Milburn, Newcastle legend.
Oh yeah.
That kind of makes it sound like he was born like subbed on, like immediately out of his mother's womb into a footballing family.
I like that.
I'd be proud to sit on that bench.
Carlos Tevez.
Charlton was picked for England's schoolboys to play against Wales, obviously, when he was very young. Now, in those days, they got huge crowds for these games, well into the tens of thousands sometimes, and people saw what a good player he was at such a young age, and word got round to many clubs. Apparently, they had loads of scouts coming round to the family home to inquire about a young Bobby Charlton. His mother remembered this, saying, "I'd be cleaning the fireplace in the morning, and I'd look round, and there'd be another one of them standing in the
kitchen behind me. There were times when we had
How'd they get in?
Well, people didn't used to lock their front doors, did they?
Sorry,
There'd be one in the front room and one in the kitchen, talking about agents and scouts.
I like the idea of that because these days it's all about, it seems a bit like subterfuge, like, oh, they promised a family a car.
There was plenty of that going on.
Yeah, but old school, it seems a little, it probably wasn't, but it seems a bit more respectful back in those days. Go around and see the mum and dad, see how they're getting on.
I think the mum said that one scout said he promised us double the amount of what the highest offer had been so far, but it didn't ask what that amount was. So you could have taken them for absolute right.
It's brilliant.
Charlton, when he was younger, loved to watch the great Sir Stanley Matthews play, of course. And he studied the way he played. And Charlton said, it was from Sir Stanley Matthews that I learned how to find space, how to beat an opponent, how to put defenders off balance, and how to time my runs. And you could see that in his style of play, which we'll talk
it's
about.
It's annoying because I've watched footballers loads and I'm not learning a damn thing.
Portsmouth.
Yeah, that's true.
He signed professional forms for Matt Busby's Manchester United when he was 17. Scored two goals on his debut against Charlton.
There you go.
Charlton scoring against Charlton. Did you get that, Jimmy?
Very simple word to say.
Comedic leap.
There you go. This was the era of the famous Busby Babes. United won the league that season and Charlton scored 10 goals in 14 games. Of course, and then in February 1958, Charlton was involved in the tragic events of the Munich disaster, where 8 of his teammates were killed. And Charlton was just 20 years old when he survived the crash, and the mental scars he must have received from these awful events cannot be underestimated. You know,
no,
he only just switched seats, didn't he? Because it was an aborted takeoff, and he sort of
there was an excellent BBC documentary. BBC dramatisation of it, where Dougray Scott played Matt Busby. But the report, didn't the goalkeeper Harry Greggs end up sort of dragging a lot of them from the wreckage?
Charlton went back in as well, didn't he, when he was dragged out or something like that?
Well, I think Harry Gregg was reported to say he thought Charlton had died because he was unconscious, but then when he came back he was actually up and about again. But he was in the hospital for a week or so, wasn't he?
Absolutely horrible. Words can't describe it. So Busby himself barely survived, and had the really hard task of rebuilding the team. You know,
they got to the FA Cup final that season, didn't they?
They did. Yeah,
they got
unfortunately they lost. Yeah, but
yeah, lost to Bolton.
They did. Yeah, Nat Lofthouse, I think. He built the team around Bobby Charlton, who became a big figure in the club's resurgence. Charlton was played out wide a lot by Busby, but he brought him into the centre of the field, just kind of behind the forwards, attacking midfielder, which got the best out of Charlton, I think we can agree. Absolutely pivotal in the team's attacks there. Great passer of the ball, decent in the tackle, very comfortable on the ball, a lot of skill, speed.
Could absolutely wang it as well.
What a shot.
People probably realise this, but let's just make it completely clear.
Yeah.
The balls were heavy then. Especially when it was raining.
Hard he could pick it now.
And most of the times when he saw those clips where he'd just absolutely pang it in the top, he'd get top left as well. It wouldn't be he'd have already run about 30 yards.
My granddad said when he played football when he was young, because they're about the same age, he'd go out for a header and he'd have a proper headache for like the rest of the day. Just heading the ball.
Not worth doing.
They had laces in them at times, didn't they? He had those shots that would just keep rising. That's the sign of a properly belted shot. And what was really impressive as well, I mean, you look at the old footage of players like this, and particularly sort of in the English league, and just because of the weather, the pitches were so bad. A player like Bobby Charlton and George Best as well, the skills they had, they were really put to the test by the pitches a lot of the time.
Totally, excellent point. He got his first England cap in 1958, playing as a more defensive midfielder, selected to go to the World Cup in Sweden in 1958, but didn't play. Played at the 62 World Cup, and then won the FA Cup in 1963 and the league in 1965 with Manchester United. But let's go to 1966, where, of course,
we don't do that enough here.
We don't.
He's so good, Bobby Charlton, that we just gloss on over league titles. Won that 1966. Our proud Lions.
Much fewer matches as well.
Forget what you heard at the start of the show. Just before the World Cup, he was named Football Writers Player of the Year and would later be named European Footballer of the Year. He was 28 going into that tournament, a 28 year old Bobby Charlton.
Peak. Looked hair like a 50 year old.
Swept over beautifully.
Lulled him into a full sense of security.
You look at his hair when he was younger, and see a lot of his hair in my hair, and I think, oh, God.
There's a great picture of him convalescing after the Munich disaster, raising the alley playing with a bunch of kids.
Oh, that's right.
And he's got a wonderful quiff. Wonderful 50s haircut. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I think Bobby Charlton's hair just really kind of epitomises how much he wouldn't give up on a lost cause.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a real winner's attitude.
Yeah, yeah.
He wanged that hair.
Skillful with the ball, skillful with the brush.
Leave it, let it go, I can win it back.
This isn't over hair.
It's all about percentages.
In a way, with his haircut, he invented the pressing game.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. And the side sweep. England drew their first game 0-0 at the 1966 World Cup, and they needed something to spark their campaign. And the second game against Mexico, it happened.
He scored. Yeah, the only goal of the game, wasn't it?
Bobby's belter.
Yeah,
I think it was 2-0.
Oh, was it 2-0? Sorry, yeah, it was a great hit. Anyway,
oh my god, I love this. He said, "I picked the ball up quite deep, and I had no intention of shooting it goal. I didn't really expect them to allow me to keep going, so I just banged it." I like the thought of Alvaro Ramsey going, bang it!
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it reminds me of when, you know, Steven Gerrard, when he scored that goal in the FA Cup final to equalise
West Ham.
The worst thing about that was, the real sickening of West Ham fans, is he said, like, after the game, "Oh, yeah, I wasn't so knackered, I wouldn't have shot then." That makes it worse.
I knew he was either going to go up for a goal kick.
Yeah.
In a sense, I didn't really want to score.
Yeah.
And if I hit it there, went out for a goal kick, I could stay where I was for the goal kick, so I'll be fine.
Oh, in the semi-final against Eusebio's Portugal, scored both goals in a 2-1 win. The second being another lovely drilled effort.
Yes, but Eusebio scored Portugal's goal, didn't he?
He did, yeah. I think it was a penalty he might have scored. One of the Portuguese players even shook Bobby Charlton's hand after he scored that goal. He was like, "Yeah, fair enough. If we're going home, then I'm glad it's to that." Yeah. You know,
I love that. That's a great show.
Yeah, yeah. He'd get him sent off nowadays.
Yeah,
that's true. It's true. In the final, Franz Beckenbauer was assigned to take care of Charlton. However, as De Keyser himself said, "England beat us in 1966 because Bobby Charlton was just a bit better than me."
Mm. Yeah, they were sort of assigned to each other.
Kind of, which restricted Charlton's kind of attacking flair.
Well, Charlton played just behind Hurst and Hunt, didn't
he? Yeah, but if he was tracking, following Beckenbauer at times, okay, right, he would make those kind of marauding runs.
Such an interesting quirk of the libero role, that you've got an attacking midfielder like that marking someone.
Yeah. Indeed. He did say emotionally to his big brother Jack straight after winning the World Cup, he's just like, "What else is there left to achieve now?"
European Cup.
Well,
68.
There you go.
The moon. Go to the moon.
So, yeah, as I said earlier, Bobby Charlton won the European Player of the Year award and was one of three Manchester United players to do this in the 60s, along with Dennis Law and George Best, the Holy Trinity.
The Belfast boy.
There you go. There is, of course, a brilliant statue of them, the three of them, outside Old Trafford, which is well worth a turn of the head if you're there, which I'd imagine you would have done.
Worth a turn of the head.
Indeed. Suddenly I was in East London in the 50s. 4 years after 66, Charlton and England lost to the Germans in the quarter final after Sir Alf Ramsey had subbed Charlton off with 20 minutes to go after they were winning, thinking, "I'll just give him a bit of a rest before the semi-final."
Mistake.
The Germans won 3-2, and that was the last game of Charlton's England career. He retired from international football. 105 caps, 49 goals.
Mm. Still the top scorer, isn't he?
Yeah.
He is indeed.
I still think Michael Owen's going to beat that.
So does Michael Owen.
And Henry Winter. In 1968, possibly his finest hour as a United player came when they won the European Cup 4-1 against Benfica.
Two goals in the final.
At Wembley.
Mm. He's a man for the big occasion, I'm sure.
Do you know what? It was quite a nice touch, actually. He famously missed the post-match celebrations as he had a solitary remembrance of his old teammates that died in Munich.
Oh.
He finished playing at Old Trafford in 1973. Then went to Preston North End for a little bit.
Player manager stint?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he had an even briefer stint with Waterford in the Republic of Ireland, I think it was, in 1976.
I bet he was class. I bet he was just graceful around the pitch.
Yeah. Yeah. He wasn't that great at management, but I think he sort of decided it wasn't for him. Was you fair to say, Jim?
Yeah, I read something about that. I think that's kind of fair enough when a manager does that, especially if there are someone that's had a sort of real, you know, huge impact on the game. And I'd want to preserve my status. Certainly, yeah. If I've like, done something like that, and I think fair enough.
It's not like he stopped working. He's an ambassador for Manchester United.
Right. Still
well,
doing
well,
the
two sort of polar opposites of everything that's right about football and everything that's wrong about football is when Bobby Charlton was asked to go up at the Moscow Champions League final between Chelsea and United.
Oh, yeah.
And he was very humble and just didn't really do much with his medal. And Kenyon was straight up there. Yeah. Medal over, yeah, look at me. Brilliant. Yeah. You
know. Kenyon never even played in the playground.
Exactly. You know? Peter, your players there, they're gutted to have lost. Yeah. You can't believe your luck. Getting up there.
You should not be strutting.
You shouldn't even be within the same postcode. Well, fair enough, he's chief executive, you know what I mean.
Charlton, a very humble man, you've got to say. So yeah, in the early 80s he became director of Manchester United, still that today.
He took a penalty against Dave Besant last season.
Did he?
Yeah, and he scored it. He looked a lot more agile than Dave Besant. That way.
Yeah, I remember seeing him at the BBC. It was a Sports Personality of the Year, and I think he might have got some sort of Lifetime Achievement Award. Mm. Very humble. Didn't really. You could tell he was didn't really want to have all the fuss made of him and that sort of thing.
He did, yeah. He received a knighthood in 1994, and of course the BBC Sports Personality of the Year Lifetime Achievement Award in 2008, presented by Jack Charlton.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
nice touch. But a legend and true gentleman of the game, and I'll leave last words to his friend and former manager Matt Busby. He said, "There has never been a more popular footballer. He was as near perfection as man and player as it is possible to be."
Bobby
Charlton.
Ferguson said he's the best ever.
Yeah.
So yeah, high praise indeed.
There you go. There we are, kids. It's the end of the Football Ramble for another week. If you would like to get in touch with us, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com, and that is where you can enter the competition for PES 2012, answering the opening question, which was at the start of the show. Pete.
Yeah, of course, we are sponsored by PES 2012. Forever evolving, forever football, forever Pro Evo. Just visit them at facebook.com/PES for more info. That's P-E-S.
And if you want to win a copy of the game, tell us the second international team you want to play for and why, and make it funny. Mm-hmm. Funnier than ours, anyway.
We'll read them out.
Make us better.
We're mental.
Jimbo, what's happening at the website, thefootballramble.com?
On the website this week, there are blogs on England, Blackburn's woe, and one from Dermot Corrigan on Spain's European Nations Cup winner, Jesus Schuss Pereda, who is unwittingly part of what looks like a weird sort of conspiracy. It's a fascinating read, that one. Elsewhere, there's the Dean Windass Hall of Fame, there's Pick Live, there are Minute by Minutes, and of course the Forum, which has all kinds of strange wonders on it. So yeah, get over, thefootballramble.com.
And we've just announced details of our now traditional Ramble Christmas drinks a bit earlier this year, 26th of November. It'll be in central London somewhere, but the exact location is to be confirmed. Get yourself onto the Facebook group, facebook.com/footballramble, to confirm your attendance, or drop us an email.
There we are. Right, that leaves me enough time to say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, PT.
Go play Pick Live.
And goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Ramble out.
But Dave Besson is a big man in that goal. Pulled off a few good saves as well in that first half. Come on, Sir Bobby. Sir Bobby Charlton against Dave Besson. Was it ever in doubt? Sent him the wrong way. Sir Bobby celebrates with the Old Trafford crowd.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.